Sunday the 16th of July 2017, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Jesus as Servant. Sermon title, A Servant Stumbles. Bible reading, Mark chapter 9 verses 38 to 50. Talk by Reverend Martin Court. There was a technical fault affecting the Bible reading portion of the original recording, so I'll read it in for you instead. It's Mark chapter 9, verses 38 to 50. Whoever is not against us is for us. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said. For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. Causing to stumble. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung round their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. This is the word of the Lord, and now it's over to Reverend Martin Court.
Keeping fit. And you know, today we're talking about stumbling blocks, and I don't think there's anything in the world that is like trying to lose weight or keep fit or whatever, that has got so many stumbling blocks to it. So many things that tell us to give up. Go home. Don't even bother going home. Don't go out in the first place. Why go running? Just sit down, enjoy yourself, eat a big donut. Our whole body is designed to be sat still, feeding itself. And you can say, well, that's all very well for you, Martin, oh rib of a greyhound. He who is so thin that you have to run around under the shower to get wet. But let me tell you, I would be very surprised if there is a single person in this room today who is not trying to better themselves in some way, shape or form. To be thinner, to walk easier, to lower our cholesterol, whatever it is. And there are so many stumbling blocks to all of those great goals. No different from me. The discipline it takes to eat well is amazing, or not go out for a run. I went out for a curry the other night and I had a salad instead of pilau rice. Ooh, I hate running. My mind tells me of so many reasons why I shouldn't go running. It's just a double cream donut, isn't it? Oh, go on, you'll love it. Or, oh, I'm too tired to walk round the park today. Let me sit down with a bag of crisps and watch the telly instead. One of the things that got twisted about the fall of the world was our default behaviours. God set our default for creativity and fun. But it's much easier to sit on the couch and eat a potato, isn't it? To do nothing. To create nothing. Well, as I say, this is the last in our sermon series on Jesus as servant. And over quite a few of our readings, quite a few of our themes, we have seen Jesus giving himself up, sacrificing himself, overcoming his own desires for the needs of others, ultimately, of course, for the salvation of the world. The cross of Calvary, Jesus must forget himself if he is to save you and me. Same with us. We've got to choose the salad, not the Chinese takeaway every now and again if we want to stop our hearts from clogging up. But this isn't about fitness and staying out of hospital. We're trying to be Christ inside and out. That's what we say we're trying to do. We're trying to walk where Jesus walked. We're trying to do what Jesus did. And what Jesus did was partner with God to bring about salvation to the world and the people who live in the world. And the disciples didn't get it, did they really? Jesus went to them, he said, you know, my hour has come and we must off to Jerusalem and all that. And remember Peter saying, no, don't go to Jerusalem, Lord. And Jesus saying, get behind me, Satan. You haven't got the things of God in mind. You've only got the things of the world. You're not being Christ inside and out. Why not? Well, because unless a seed dies, said Jesus, it can't produce any fruit. And the trouble is we take it too literally, I think. That's why people don't become Christians. It's why they don't come along to church, because they think they're going to lose their life. The fun will go and we'll all turn into sullen old nuns and monks living a life of drudgery. I know this is going to shock you, but we've just installed a swear box in the vicarage to help stop the vicar from swearing. I used to swear for a living way back in the day. I could swear in the middle of words, absolutely. I could put a swear word anywhere. But I've got to stop. I've got to stop swearing because it's a block to others. I'm not proud of my swearing. I try to cut it out. But you know what it's like when you're on a day off, when it's been a really hard week, when you're tired or whatever. That's when the old devil gets us, isn't it? That's when we do what we shouldn't be doing. And I was out in the garden and sure enough I swore and it's a stumbling block to others. We'll come to that in a minute. People out there expect me to be a vicar. They expect me to, I can't even say it without laughing, can I? They expect me to be pure and holy. That's what they want to see from me. That's what they want to hear from me. And it's true, and if I'm not, it drags God down in their minds. There's a cost to discipleship, and I have to curb my behaviour. And it's not that I lose my life, actually, totally the opposite. Jesus said, those who give their life away will actually find a better life. And I've experienced that. I'm living the dream now. I'm loving life. But unless you do that, unless you give your life to God, you never experience that. We've got so used to the whisper in our ears, I think, that we can have glory without sacrifice. Remember Jesus being tempted, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world if you worship me. It doesn't cost you anything, I'll give them to you freely. Sit in the chair and eat your crisps. It'll be fine. But of course it's not fine, it's clogging our heart. It's cheap and it's worthless, and at the end of the day it cannot satisfy us. Because you and I were made for exhilaration and purpose and drive. King David knows that. He wants to build an altar. And he gets this field, he sees this field, and he goes to the owner of the field and he says, I want to buy this field so that I can build an altar to my Lord. And the guy, of course, this is the king, we're just going to give him it. Well, you know, whatever he wants, just take it, please have it. And you remember King David says, no. I will not sacrifice burnt offerings to my Lord that have cost me nothing. See, it becomes a price that we want to pay. If you were to ask King David, did he sacrifice himself for God? I bet he would say to you, no, he's the richest man in the world in his day. Lives in the finery of a palace. So how much sacrifice is going on there? What's the difference? The difference is his heart. The difference is who he's living his life for. It's not about us losing our riches or whatever. It's about who we live for and how we live. People are afraid of losing their life, but friends, I can tell you, you don't. You lose nothing if you turn your life over to God. You gain in wonderful ways. And I could talk about all the stumbling blocks that there are to becoming a Christian, but that's not what this reading is about today. This reading is aimed at you and me in here. And it's about how we can be stumbling blocks. Three things that I've got, three ways in which we can be stumbling blocks to the kingdom of God. And the first is this. There's a call on us not to be a stumbling block to other believers. Gandhi said this, "I like your Christ, I do not like you, your Christians, because your Christians are nothing like your Christ." In church, we're supposed to be looking like this. But very often in church, we can look like this. And yet, when we look like this, then we start to encourage each other. We keep each other going. We bounce off of each other. The whole pot that we call church becomes fun. I'm loving our PCC at the moment. That sounds really, really a weird thing to say. What vicar likes a PCC meeting? I'm loving it. We're an odd bunch. If you look around the room that God has drawn together. But we're getting a real team feel. That's evidenced by the fact that loads, including husbands and wives, are going to gather this afternoon for fun and frolics around at Bob and Lou's house. First time, really, that husbands and wives have wanted to be in on the act. Why is that? Because we're having such a great time. We're working really hard together. We're tackling some really difficult things. We're making decisions that are going to transform the lives of others. That decision to sell the Somerville plot in housing is going to release this in massive and mighty and wonderful ways. There are boring bits to our meetings, of course, but this time next year we'll begin refurbing the church, and that is exciting. At our first leadership meeting way back in January, we asked ourselves, what's our legacy going to be? Because we can't just exist, can we? Can't just tick over. What's our legacy as individuals and also as a church going to be? It's a great question. I wonder if you've ever thought about it. What impact is your life making on the world? Because you've only got one shot. We've only got one shot. Should we just wait for our kids to come back in? They're all piling back in. It's good. No, it's good. We love it. Bless you guys. Come on in and sit down. What impact are you making? That's the question that we're asking. What impact are you making? What will people say about you once you've passed from this world into glory? And to waste it by just ticking over can't be a good thing, can it? Where's the fun in living life just ticking over? Life is purpose and drive and overcoming challenges. Life is about taking something ordinary and making it extraordinary. That's what Jesus did with the wine at Cana, isn't it? At the wedding. And what did they do? They partied. But, says Jesus, the trouble is this. If you've got the wrong heart, two things will happen. Firstly, you'll never be in the party. Firstly, you'll never ride the wave, and that's sad enough. But he says there's a second thing, and it's worse. If you've got the wrong heart, you will dampen the hearts of others. In the church, he means. Amongst us, he means. Because your heart is wrong, because you count the hours that you allow yourself to be in the church, or you limit the number of times you're going to help out at things or whatever, you'll start to get other people to do that in their life. Tea in the park is brilliant. Every time we do it, we have a ball. We take tea and coffee and refreshments. We go over into St. Chad's Park. Every single time, it's fantastic. And there's a few who are there and doing it, but there's loads who are not. We're a church of over 200 adults. There's about 10 people go over the park. Now, here's the question. Of those 190-odd that don't go, how many of them don't go because of a negativity that has been placed on them from somewhere else? Out of their own feelings, out of their own self-interest, because they can't be bothered and they think they've done enough already and they can't get up on a Saturday morning and they think that they won't enjoy it. They've said to somebody else, don't you bother going either, because you won't enjoy it and you've done enough already. People whom God is calling, people whom God is tickling inside and saying, come on, I want you to be a part of this. Being told by somebody else, no, 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 sit down, sit down. Stop from having a ball simply because someone else is putting their flame of interest and passion out. There are two cultures in the church across the UK. There's a can-do culture and there's a won't-do culture. And Jesus says, if you choose won't-do, then you're better off keeping it to yourself, because if you pass it on to somebody else, it's like having a millstone tied around your neck and you being thrown out into the sea. Harsh words. Harsh words. Not because God is harsh, but because your sin is leading others to sin. Jesus brought this little child up. What did he say when he brought the little child up? If anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble. It's a massive thing. And guys, every now and then we have to stop and ask ourselves, am I doing that? Am I being negative in any way to any person? Is negativity found on my lips? Is there a lack of enthusiasm for Jesus Christ and St. Chad's Church anywhere in me, in my bones? Because for those in the church, those who put a tick in the box for Christianity, for them, if the answer is yes, Jesus is saying to us, that's the worst sin of all, guys. That's the worst sin of all. Causing another believer to stumble. And he warns us, check yourself every so often. Listen to yourself. Notice which things you turn up at and which things you do not turn up at. And ask yourself what's happening there. And are you spreading that to somebody else? Are you impacting others in a negative way? Because if we're really going to achieve what we're going to achieve for the kingdom of God, and he is calling us, there's no doubt, we can't be negative. We have got to be can-do people. We mustn't be a stumbling block to the person sat next to us. We mustn't be a stumbling block to ourselves either. Let's have a look at this little clip. I love it. I love it. I wanted it to be playing, you know, I get knocked down but I get up again, but I couldn't find that on the thing. Folks, you're all such angels. You're all such angels. And I know that you won't be able to relate to that clip in terms of your own sin and how it just keeps knocking you over. But I can tell you, in my life, I can relate to that. Trying to fight temptations of the world, for me, was exactly like that. By the grace of God, they don't knock me flat anymore, but they still catch me out every now and again. And it's a constant battle. And Jesus isn't advocating self-mutilation. When he says, cut off your arm or your hand, or whatever, he's not talking about actually cutting off your arm. But he is telling us, guys, do you realise you are what you eat? Do you realise you are what you eat? Out of the overflow of the heart, your mouth will speak. Not at a worldly level, but at an eternal level. Sin is simply anything that keeps us from being the people that God has made us to be. Sin is whatever keeps you from walking with God every day. It's what separates us from the ways of heaven. And certainly being a won't-do person is part of that, but Jesus knows it's way deeper than that. He knows that we can stumble over ourselves in all the externals of life. And he marks out three externals that are really impactive on us as Christians. The work of our hands. The places that our feet take us, or sometimes the places that our feet don't take us. And the things that our eyes look at and get our hearts to desire. And it's as simple as this. If you pander to your sin in life through any of those mediums, through your hands, your feet, or your eyes, you will lose your salty, Christ-like character. Any victories that the Holy Spirit has enabled you to have over sin will be lost. And the words, well done, good and faithful servant, will simply drift away from you on the wind of your own failings. It's a dreadful thing. It's a dreadful thing, says Jesus, to let yourself slip, often knowingly, that's the mad thing, isn't it? We choose darkness over light, don't we, sometimes? That's why we started with talks of diet and fitness and how hard it is, because there's only one way to stop a downward spiral. You've got to get some ruthlessness going, you've got to get some self-discipline going. If you want to lose weight, you've got to stop eating the donut. You've got to get yourself out walking or running or whatever. It's as simple as that. Got to get some discipline in our life. And no one will do that for you. And it's the same with our failings. It's the same with the things that our hands do and our feet take us to and our eyes look at. No one can stop your eyes from looking at whatever it is or your mouth from saying whatever words you're saying. Only you can. Paul says you have to put all of those things to death. What a word that is. You have to put those things to death. Jack Dempsey, boxing's heavyweight champion way back in the 1920s, said a champion is someone who gets up when he can't. I love that. To overcome the weakness of sin, we have to find a strength somewhere. And I can tell you, the only place that I found that in my life was when I partnered with God. Same place as I find the strength to go down the gym when I'm shattered, because my own strength isn't enough. I would wimp out. I would sit on the couch and have a glass of wine. But I know that's not doing me any good. And by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit comes and takes me into action. Same with our sin. A power that can calmly walk through the sufferings of the cross of Calvary and come out the other side. Now that is a power that can overcome anything. Friends, our second question today is this. Are we being stumbling blocks to ourselves? Are we enjoying the darkness a little bit too much? Maybe not enjoying it. I put that in there because I know that there was a time in my life when I was enjoying the darkness, when I was looking forward to it. That is darkness indeed. And you are angels, and it won't be like that for you. I know that. But are we just being caught up in a spiral of darkness? Guys, I know it sounds crass, but Jesus can help. He really can, and he really wants to. He longs to. It's why he came, to take away the sins of the world. We've sung that song twice, 2 weeks in a row now, to break every chain. I wonder if there's somebody here who is enjoying the darkness, who is chained by the darkness. I wonder. Because I can tell you, Jesus can break that chain for you this morning here at that altar there. It's what he did for me, and he'll do it for you. We don't need to be a stumbling block to others in our church. We don't need to be a stumbling block to ourselves. And then lastly, for I must finish, Jesus says, don't be a stumbling block to the world. It's me and our swear box, because it gives others an excuse to stay away from church. People who hear me speaking like that, because, I knew there was nothing to that Christianity. And I've let God down. Jesus said, with the salt of the world, we're supposed to flavour society. Who here would put Tabasco sauce in a cup of tea? Other than perhaps a mad pregnant woman. They do those things, don't they? Ladies, have you had any of that nonsense, any of those culinary cravings that are ridiculous? Peanut butter with mayonnaise on, or sausage and treacle sandwiches? But it's not right, is it? Oh, exactly, it's not right. And when we're in our right mind, when our hormone levels are all level, we just wouldn't do it normally, would we? Because when you add flavour, it enhances the taste. But Jesus says, guys, if you're not careful, you will leave a sour taste in people's mouths. That's what Jesus is saying. If we lose our servant character, if we lose our Christ-like character, our humility, our love, our mercy, our justice, our grace, we lose our saltiness. And that means we lose our attractiveness to the people out there that he is desperately trying to save. Folks, Jesus is telling us that we're being watched. If we call ourselves a Christian, he's saying you're being watched in three ways. You're being watched by the world, because they want to know if God is worth turning to or not, and they're looking at you because they know you're a Christian. He says we're being watched by our brothers and sisters in Christ, and some of those brothers and sisters in Christ are weaker than we are. And they're looking to us to learn how to behave, to learn how to act, to learn how to be Christ inside and out. And then he says, "You, more than any of that really, you're being watched by Jesus Christ himself, because he wants to know, are you being Christ inside and out? In the quiet times when nobody else is there, how are you thinking? What are you doing? What are your hands doing? Where are your feet taking you? What are your eyes looking at?" And throughout the Gospels, we see the qualities of Jesus: servanthood, sacrificial humility, love that knows no bounds. And he asks us, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the power of the Holy Spirit, can you live like that? Because you know the question he's going to ask us then. He's going to ask us, will you be my disciple? Will you be my witness in St. Chad's Church and in Chadwell Heath and in London and in the UK? And right across the world. Because whether you know it or not, folks, you are his answer to the salvation of the world. Let's just pray together. I'm just going to ask the worship team to come back up as well. Lord, Heavenly Father, it's just amazing that this reading, this talk, falls on the very same day when we have the joy of announcing that we are moving this church building project forward. And I felt it in my bones, Lord, over these last 6 months, 12 months, whatever, that you are really trying to sharpen us. Because you're calling us to make a real difference in this place. You're calling St. Chad's Church to be a real beacon of your light. And now, Lord, I think you're asking, can we shine that light bright enough? Lord, would you come? It's clear you want to do a work in us. We've felt the power of your Holy Spirit anointing us today. It's clear that you want to do a work in us, Lord. And we're going to gather around your table. We're going to come to your altar. We're going to take broken bread and wine outpoured. Lord, would you come and do your business with us again today? Would you come and examine our hearts again today? Would you open our minds again today? And would we be the people that you want us to be, that you are calling us to be, that you are shaping us to be? Help us to be your church in this fallen world. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.